The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 12 minutes after 6, join the conversation on the day after Transgender Day of Visibility. Boy, I got to tell you, the White House certainly knows how to time its holy days, as the case might be. Yeah, I don't know how you did. Well, maybe you haven't heard about that one. Yeah, President Biden actually, or I should say not President Biden, but probably the whoever's running President Biden. He probably just signs the executive orders and, you know, he just shoves it and then and does his thing. But, on Easter Sunday, they tweet out, on Transgender Day of Visibility, we celebrate the joy, strength, and absolute courage of some of the bravest people I know. Today, we show millions of transgender and non-binary Americans that we see them, they belong, and they should be treated with dignity and respect. So there we go. That is nothing about the white. Well, they did do something about Easter, too. No religious symbolism allowed during the Easter egg art contest at the White House. So it appears that the Democratic Party and Joe Biden are even more into anything, you know, if it's anti-Christian, can't be anti-Muslim because Islam is diverse, right? We know that Islam is diverse. That part they like. But anything actually involving Christianity must be suppressed. And they're really not hiding it much any longer, are they? Yeah. What do you think about that? In the United States of America right now, so-called the United States, something else which divides the states of America. But anyway, very interesting news over the weekend here. But honestly, are we really all that surprised about it? Could be just a few more votes for Donald Trump on something like that. Assuming that the votes are counted legitimately and we're not harvesting dead people and people who are voting in multiple states. Another conversation for another time, unless you want to talk about it right now. Speaking of the transgender world, the Daily Signal, which is an arm of the Heritage Foundation, talked about men not competing in women's sports, or at least this is the claim being made by Representative Jerry Nadler, a Democrat from New York. They were kind of wondering, it writes here, after a House Judiciary Committee hearing where the 76-year-old Nadler declared, men do not compete in women's sports. Is the president's senility contagious, or is Nadler, you know, living in complete denial, right? That's the question being raised here. Not only are men competing in women's sports right now, on, you know, Transgender Day of Awareness and beyond, they're winning women's titles. And Riley Gaines, of course, is talking about this all the time. You know, you see her on Fox News and various other channels. But ironic that he says on the exact 2-year anniversary of this photo being taken, Gaines, the former University of Kentucky swimmer, posted alongside a picture of Leah Thomas, remember, holding a trophy he never would have had the chance to race for. The 6'4" man isn't fooling anyone with any amount of common sense. Gaines said this all turned 2 years ago. Yeah, he did it 2 years to the date exactly. And Nadler so determined to suppress reality, the Heritage Foundation reporting here, that he actually moved to have evidence of the debate stricken from the record. Trying to get what he said taken out of there. Oh, interesting times. I don't know. Today being April Fool's Day, maybe every day we should just talk about this stuff. April Fool's. It's every day is April Fool's Day in the United States of America. So yeah, Transgender Day of Visibility. And meanwhile, the transgenders that are out there are not competing in women's sports and taking women's sports titles, even though it is just obviously there. Wow. Didn't mean to start it off with that, but I'm just, you look at the headlines, you just kind of, whew, what are you thinking about that, huh? 770-5633 to join in, and we do have some open phone time right now. Big deal in the homeless world, and an 18-year-old is in the Daily Courier over the weekend. Prosecutors filed felony charges Friday against an 18-year-old accused of randomly attacking homeless people in a Grants Pass park. Peterson Pierce Amate arraigned in Joe County Court on charges of second-degree assault, unlawful use of a weapon, both felonies, by the way. And Amitai has been in custody since Wednesday when he was identified as one of two young men who attacked homeless campers at Tussing Park. And police say two young men jumped out of a car about 11 o'clock at night, started striking tents occupied by homeless campers, shouting, "Come out, homie." And police said a 50-year-old woman who emerged from her tent during the attack struck in the face with a stick. That's not good. Video evidence from security cameras at the park and license plate readers on patrol units subsequently led to the suspect's arrest at his home. So there we go. Not the way to deal with the homelessness situation. Speaking of the homelessness situation, though, this is another interesting wrinkle on it. And this came out actually a few days ago that Julie Akins from AllCare, of course, AllCare, of course, talks a lot and has taken over a lot of the healthcare system here in Southwest Oregon. And Julie Akins, I was watching it on NBC5 the other day, was saying that in the opinion of AllCare, the state legislature needs to really be getting involved to address the homelessness crisis in rural areas. Homelessness, a top priority, of course. There, I'm looking here at another article, Oregon Capital Chronicle. But the AllCare report, written by Julie Akins, AllCare Senior Housing Director, documents the health care and other struggles that those who are homeless face. Akins interviewed more than 300 homeless Oregonians who sleep in camps, rest stops, wildlands, and crawl spaces. And we have a community responsibility, Akins said. We see our members unnecessarily suffering and dying from conditions that they could get well from as a result of remaining unhoused. Now, some of the people, I would say she's probably right. I mean, she's right and she's wrong. I think AllCare tends to look at the homelessness issue as, the typical bleeding heart liberal way of looking at homelessness, which is, all they need is a home. If we just have a home for them, it doesn't matter what, then things will be taken care of. And frankly, I have to tell you, for a 70-year-old woman, Susan, that she had interviewed in this one, who sleeps in her vehicle, untreated blisters on her calves turning into an infection, that's probably true. Elderly housing is an issue. Especially when you're living on Social Security, limited income. Now, I'm assuming, though, that many of the elderly people that Julie Akins was interviewing for this situation are probably not drug addicted or drunk out of their butt raving lunatics. And that part, I don't think, gets really talked about enough. The bleeding heart liberal way of looking at homelessness is, all we have to do is just have a bunch of cheap homes available for everybody, and then the homelessness problem goes away. Well, what? Unless you're going to completely make the homes free and have someone come and clean and take care of the place? Because let's be honest, the biggest problem that we're having with homelessness is because of the raving lunatic drug addicted types. Now, they're not all raving lunatics, but, just tarring with a broad brush. I mean, I'll appreciate that. But just giving a home to a drug-addicted, a homeless person who's not responsible other than looking to be responsible for their next fix is probably not going to solve the homelessness problem. They're just going to end up trashing the public housing. But yet, this is the way that a coordinated care organization, I imagine, is going to look at it, because all they're looking at is like, okay, how can we grow the blob? And according to State Representative Dwayne Yunker, he's had an eye on AllCare for a long time. AllCare has grown the blob greatly. We'll talk with him about that maybe an hour or so from now. But Julie, and I know Julie, good person. And I'm sure that AllCare, a lot of the people, the bleeding hearts, the left-wingers in AllCare are very concerned, but they're always leading off of the point of view of, all we have to do is housing first. That has been the whole left-wing failed policy about housing. All we have to do is get cheap housing, and all of a sudden, the people who have a fentanyl addiction over at Riverside Park or wherever it is, or in the Greenway in Medford in Jackson County, as long as you have a house for these people, all of a sudden, they won't be homeless anymore. And then they won't want to take drugs anymore. They won't want to drink themselves silly or take methamphetamine. That's not the case. That's not the case. The drug addiction and the maladies that that come with this, the irresponsibility, the total trashing of wanting to be a part of the family of man, that is the root of a great majority of the homelessness that we're finding here in Southwest Oregon, at least the way, you know, I'm observing this. Am I wrong about that? Am I wrong to look at the drugging out of Southwest Oregon as one of the main causes? Now, we certainly do have an affordability problem, and that certainly is due to state land use problem or state land use control. But I've been talking about getting rid of Senate Bill 100 forever. You've been hearing me talk about this time and time again. We're the only state in the entire country that does centralized land use control. And yes, that makes housing much more expensive. Nobody else in this country is having to deal with this government-created illusion of a urban growth boundary. In other words, you don't get to build a house where you want to. You have to be within the urban growth boundary so that we can build our little urban habit trails with stack-and-pack housing. And so we can have a 15-minute climate-friendly, equitable community. You know, that's what they want. That's what the progressive world wants. They don't want you living in a house in rural Josephine and Jackson County. They don't want that. Because, oh, that's sprawl. The planners don't want you living outside. That's sprawl. And as I said for many years, probably a decade and a half now, one person's sprawl is another person's affordable housing. If the left-wing world improvers would really understand that, they wouldn't want centralized land use, command and control of land by the state of Oregon. But they don't want to let go of Senate Bill 100. They don't want to let go of the LCDC. They don't want to let go of any of that. They're just talking about maybe a few carve-outs so that we can have some cheap houses. That way it'll solve the homelessness community. I'll know that All Care is serious about wanting to end the homelessness crisis here in Southwest Oregon. You know, it's calling for, you know, changes in from the state legislature. I'll know that All Care is truly serious about taking care of the homelessness problem if, A, it will be hardcore into recriminalizing drugs, and I mean really recriminalizing drugs, not the way they were recriminalized with HB 4002. And second of all, coming out to repeal Senate Bill 100. If you're not willing to strike at the root of these plans, if you're not willing to strike at the root of these bills, which have caused all sorts of problems here in Southwest Oregon, centralized land use control, and the only half-hearted recriminalizing of drugs, All Care is not really all that serious. All Care is probably more looking at just growing their nonprofit spread in the state of Oregon. That's kind of how I see it. I don't know if you have a difference of opinion about this, but, you know, all anyone's talking about is just kind of nibbling around the edges and more government programs. Because who's going to administer the government programs? Well, nonprofits like All Care, coordinated care organizations, stab and wagons, various other things. Yes, they like the idea of responding to the homelessness crisis. Oh, we don't want to do anything with the real drug addicted there. We keep talking about, yeah, we want treatment and this and that and the other. Wouldn't the best way of avoiding a lot of the homelessness be to not have them addicted in the first place? Rather than talking about, oh, how heroic they overcame their addiction. I know, but people not becoming addicted and not needing the healthcare system, that doesn't keep the nonprofits in business, right? Only half joking about this over the years, where you think the American Cancer Society really wants cancer to be cured, a lot of people would be out of work. If people were actually healthy, a lot of people would be out of work in the healthcare community. Got to keep it going. Got to keep you addicted. Got to keep you, you know, in a lack of dignity. We got to do this because got to keep you addicted because keeping you addicted, boy, if we don't have you on fentanyl, then we have to have you on something else. pharmaceutical industry will not be denied. I know that sounds really cynical. I shouldn't be that way. But yeah, if you're really serious, All Care, if the people from All Care are listening, if you are really serious about truly getting to the root of homelessness, you will be coming out full bore in recriminalized drugs hard, in a tough way, big stick, and repealing Senate Bill 100, getting rid of state land use control. And if you're not in favor of getting rid of state land use control, then you're not really serious about attacking homelessness. You're just not. You're just talking about growing government programs that will probably help All Care and various other nonprofit groups. This is the Bill Myers Show, and you're on KMED, KCMD.
If your tools and equipment are rolling around in your pickup bed and trailer, Two Dogs Fabricating will get you organized with racks, hooks, hangers, baskets, and sleeves. Two Dogs provides whatever you need to be efficient and ready when you roll up on a job site. And if you're looking for a unique work bed or trailer, sketch it on a napkin and bring it in. Just a little direction and you'll say, "That's exactly what I was thinking." Two Dogs Fabricating, a working man's best friend. Oh, besides your dog, of course. On Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford, and at twodogsfab.com.
Is switching your wireless service to Total by Verizon easy?
Totalmente.
And you get unlimited 5G data? $25 a line for 4 lines on the unlimited plan? At an amazing price? With no contracts? Should you switch to Total by Verizon? Definitely.
Totalmente.
Find a store or switch suavemente at totalbyverizon.com. Monthly rate when you activate without a pay, plus taxes and fees. Discount begins the month after you enroll. Additional terms apply. See website for data management practices.
Lithia Body and Paint knows that the dent in your car is bugging you. Here's some good news. You may have a ding or dent that's quick and affordable to fix. Lithia has special tools to carefully pop out dents and dings in your car, often without damaging the paint. From major collision repair to small dings from a baseball, shopping cart, or mailbox, bring it by Lithia Body and Paint and we'll let you know what it's going to take to fix it. You may be pleasantly surprised. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Hurley's Tax Service has the experience to complete your taxes the way you're most comfortable with, by mail, secure email, phone, Zoom, or in person. Just call Hurley's Tax at 774-1040. What an easy number, 774-1040.
Hi, I'm Paul Strandberg with Valley View Nursery, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
629, appreciate you waking up here this morning. You know, we were talking about the root cause of homelessness. All Care, of course, wants changes to make it easier to build homes. And I would agree, hey, nothing wrong with that. But the root cause of homelessness is not just lack of homes. When it comes to the elderly, I know that Richard Evans and the folks over at the Mission, Gospel Rescue Mission in Grants Pass, you know, they're going to be working an elder housing affordability thing. And I think that's really good. I'll have to talk with him about that at some point. I mean, I appreciate this, but, you know, if you're not going to be really tough on the drug issue, and you're not looking to repeal state land use controls, then you're not really serious. You're not really being serious about working on the homelessness issue here in Southwest Oregon, the entire state of Oregon. I could even look at I forgot to mention this morning. I was going over to a bank ATM this morning. I was dropping off a check. Yeah, I know you can take a picture of it, but I still like to kind of go old school, go to the ATM and just shove the check in there. And it's a machine over by the Walmart at exit 30 in Medford, you know, Highway 62 one, where the old Costco used to be located in that neighborhood. And it really tugged at me because, you know, there it is, 4:45 in the morning. And the homeless addicts are already set up. One of them is sitting over there at one of the four-corner stop sign, getting ready to put up his sign like anything helps, that sort of thing. And then I was pulling into the bank parking lot, going over to the ATM, and I saw a couple of people, and my headlights caught them as I was coming in, and one of them had a glass pipe, and he's smoking a glass pipe. So I'm figuring that's methamphetamine, right? No one's even trying to hide the drugs. Even now, with the so-called recriminalization of the drugs going on, a person like that, you know, you do what Julie Akins over at All Care wants, and you know, you give that person a house. What are they going to do with that house? See what I'm getting at? Got to keep people off drugs first. not saying, well, it's all about liberty here. Let's let you get yourself completely whacked out, and then we'll let you break your leg, and then we'll hand you a crutch later on. And here comes your drug treatment under the guise, measure 110. Don't even get me started there. You know, I'm feeling really sorry for this person. I'm thinking, oh, gosh, why are you on the meth? Why are you doing this? But, you know, what can be done? Handing a person a home is not going to make them get off the meth. And then they'll just be in the home, in the government housing, and they'll be trashing the place up and filling it with garbage and everything else and having all your druggy friends over. I mean, everybody knows that's just reality, right? Strike at the roots. But you see, striking at the roots is not profitable for the nonprofit world here in Southwest Oregon, which is taking and eating a greater and greater portion of our tax money. Eating it. Nom, 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 nom. Oh, no, it's a taxpayer funding. Nom, 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 nummies for my nonprofit group. Yeez. Anyway, let me go to the phones here. Hey, Chris, you want to talk Merkley? What did Merkley do this time, huh?
Well, Bill, just on a standpoint, you know, easy come, easy go. If you give housing to people, they're not going to appreciate it. And, you know, I've had to work through, and I have three pieces of property, but it wasn't easy. So I wasn't on drugs, but you just got to work hard, right? You people don't want to work hard.
Well, I mean, bad things can happen to everybody. You know, get that. I mean, most people, all it takes is one major medical issue or whatever it is, and you can find yourself in a really, really big deal. I'm okay with helping folks like that. I really am. But, you know, to sit around there and say all we have to have is a bunch of cheap houses and then all the drug addicts on the Greenway and everyone else are going to be okay is not looking at it sensibly is all I would say. Okay?
Well, they're going to go away eventually because we got a new class of social caste. It's the illegal aliens that our taxpayer dollars are going to.
Yeah, you could be right about that. Well, why don't you call me another time when you're irritated about Merkley, okay?
Yeah, right.
I thought you were going to call about that, but that's all right. You off taco, that's fine. Thanks, Chris. Talk to you later. Let me go to line two. Hi, KMED, KCMD.
Good morning, Bill. Tom here.
Hello, Tom.
Hey. Hi. Well, you know, you talked about looking at the big picture. I pull back and I go back to the Foreign Affairs magazine of the 1970s and where they're talking about abolishing countries as a concept and so forth. I believe what's going on in this country is they're literally trying to erase America as a country, as they're doing across the globe.
So you break it down. You break down the fabric, the moral fabric of a society, the culture of it. You break it down, and then of course you bring a lot of replacement population in illegally across the border, right?
Yeah. More than just bringing them in, you're subsidizing them. You're giving them thousands of dollars, free phone and so mm-hmm. forth, credit card. I want to read one sentence from Lou Rockwell. It's an article by Brandon Smith about this, but just one sentence.
Okay.
And it the globalists want to end national sovereignty, and the fastest way to do that is to create open border conditions, kill domestic economies, erase Western culture, and then swoop in with a global solution after the dust settles.
Exactly. When people are sitting there crying out for, in other words, a strong jackboot to restore order, right? That kind of thing?
Yeah, we're really being taken down in classic communist fashion. I mean, just you break down the culture, you break down the economy, you break down the borders. This is not just happenchance. You know, it's a happenstance. It's a program. We're physically being erased.
And remember to look at it that way. And then when you hear the people who are well-meaning in the nonprofit world, you know, like I talked about, kind of bring it back to, you know, closer to home here, because you're right. The macro view of it has been the plan, if you let it happen. But when you have the nonprofit world that talks about, well, all we have to do to cure the homelessness problem is just build more homes. You know?
Yeah. So I think a lot of what's going on is like the transgenderism and so forth. All these micro battles are going on. I see them in a larger context because a lot of this, what's going on, why life seems so insane right now and so crazy-making and so on, is we're engaged in these distracting skirmishes all over the place, not realizing that it's part of a larger plan, a larger picture going on. And you really, you know, and you think about something too. So we're importing millions of people this year and last year and so forth with Biden. And there's Trump who says he wants to put up a wall and so forth. If the people that are powerful enough to bring in millions and millions and millions of people into the United States, they're not going to have any problem stopping Trump one way or the other. I mean, they're not going to let one guy stop their whole plan.
Boy, I'll tell you, for Trump to really get a hold of that that corrupt administrative state is a high lift. And
we're talking about reversing the gold plan of billionaires. Billionaires are running this country into the ground, and they have a plan. And you got to see that this everything that's going on in terms of this context, this plan, not.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, though, billionaires certainly, you know, the billionaires, the global elite, the greater than 1%. There certainly is that war going on. And it's a multi-headed hydra, as you know. Okay, there's no one person that you go after. You know, Klaus Schwab is the latest, punching bag. You know, the latest, Bond villain that a lot of people like to talk about. But it's much more than that. But the thing is, though, what is the attacks that we're having here in the state of Oregon, though, with homelessness and with drug addiction? Are not necessarily coming from billionaires, other than the fact that billionaires like George Soros that shoved Measure 110 out at the voters under the guise of the open society type thing, right? And, you know, but we voted for that stuff, or a lot of people did vote for that stuff. And if the people of Oregon can't wise up and see that, voting doesn't change everything, but it's not nothing, you know? And
well, you know, what we're talking about is that a lot of the voters and a lot of the do-gooders here in Oregon, their minds have been manipulated by this fascist communist mindset takeover. I mean, look at this global warming crap.
And well, I think
people are brainwashed.
Tom, we can solve the world right now. If you voted for Measure 110, no vote for you in November, okay? How about that? All right?
We'll keep on the mic.
All right. Hey, got to roll, but thank you very much for the call, as always. Yeah, but you're right. It is a battle, and it is being conducted here on our soil, you know, against us. But many of our own people are foot soldiers in the battle, you know, against us here. But they don't even realize that they're against us when they sit there and talk about, oh, all we have to do to cure homelessness is to have homes. No, that's not the problem. There's something else that's driving the homelessness. And we do need more homes, but just to hand it to people that are drug addicted won't necessarily help either, okay? I appreciate your call. Thank you, Tom. 639 at KMED, KCMD. RFK Jr., hey, you know that he called for a smart grid? Boy, what a dummy. We'll talk about that coming up.
Changing weather norms means changes to water quality. Be sure your drinking water is safe. The highs and lows of water levels, increasing cases of contamination, and land use changes can all impact your water quality. The only way to know if your water is safe is to have it tested. Call on Grants Pass Water Lab for fast service, help understanding your results, and affordable pricing. You'll find them online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for more than 40 years.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10. News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning, I'm Natalie Cerna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. The city of Sutherland is receiving $650,000 in federal funding to provide emergency shelter services. Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley says Sutherland would acquire and develop a 13-acre parcel and a 17,000-square-foot shelter building. He says this funding will help address health and financial barriers for those experiencing homelessness in Sutherland. Then a Wolf Creek man is in the Douglas County Jail for a number of charges, including kidnapping. Thursday, March 28th, around 1 p.m., a call came in from a man who said his mother had been taken against her will. Deputies learned the male suspect, 35-year-old Richard Gooden of Wolf Creek, was involved in a vehicle reported stolen. After the victim called 911, deputies took Gooden into custody. The victim was found and taken to safety. Gooden is facing kidnapping charges as well as unlawful possession of methamphetamine and more. Then March Madness continues as South Carolina advances to the Final Four of the Women's NCAA Tournament with a 70-58 win over Oregon State. The Elite Eight game was played in New York. Oregon State got within 62-58 with 3 minutes and 55 seconds left in the game, but missed their final 7 shots. The team was picked to finish 10th in the Pac-12 and preseason polls, but were able to finish as a top 8 team in the country. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC5 News. I'm Natalie Serna.
Hey, it's Lars here with my trusted friend in the real estate market, Jared Hokanson with Hokanson Realty. If I were listing today, what advice would you give me, Jared?
Lars, that is a fantastic question. Thanks for asking. For my clients that are listing today, one of the key things that I'm telling them is, hey, we're not in the same market that we were in within the last year or two. With the rise in interest rates and what's been going on with the feds and things like that, it's changing the market. And so it's more important than ever to make sure that they hire a company and a real estate agent that knows how to adapt to the changing market. And that's exactly what we're doing for our clients in order to get them top dollar. And we give advice on what it takes to do that. And then we put our marketing machine to work to maximize the amount of money that they can get for the sale of their property as well.
Thanks, Jared. Call Jared Hokanson today at 541-772-SOLD, 541-772-SOLD, or go online to 541-772-SOLD.com and start packing.
One of our clients told me that her 9-year-old took a new interest in cooking and helping in the kitchen while mom was on the Plan Z diet. This same girl also told her mom she was a better mom as a result of doing Plan Z because her mom now wanted to play outside and run around with her daughter. Losing the weight gave her new energy. Hi, this is Zola from PlanZDiet.com. A Kentucky dieter told me that the ZR50 Crave Control Spray worked so well she never even thought about her favorites, Mountain Dew and chocolate cake. This diet has so many benefits. I invite you to visit PlanZDiet.com and read the success stories. Our dieters are people just like you. Most of them aren't trying to get back to bikini thin or their high school football weight. They just want to be healthier and happier. The average Plan Z dieter loses 31 pounds in just 50 days. That's fast enough to stay motivated, and it's a big enough loss in the end to make dramatic improvements in how you look and feel. If you ever worry about the impact being overweight is having on your health and happiness, you owe it to yourself to seriously check out PlanZDiet.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
I know Zola with Plan Z Diet. I wonder if there's going to be an easier time for people dieting in California now that the minimum wage overnight went up to $20 an hour for fast food workers. So maybe you'll be able to stay away from the pizza a little bit easier or more easily. I don't know. But, boy, that's going to be quite a situation. Speaking of the cost of living just exploding, notice how we've been talking about the last few weeks. The plan for up to, I mean, by the time I think Pacific Power is done with us next year here in Southwest Oregon, Northern California, could be looking at overall 50% power rate increases. And this is going to be moving forward. And I want to talk with Jason Isaac about that. He's the founder and CEO of the American Energy Institute. Jason, it's great to have you here. Welcome to the program.
Great to be morning. On. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Okay, tell us about AEI. And are you a fossil fuels kind of guy, I would figure?
Yeah, we love hydrocarbons. Actually, we advocate for affordable, reliable energy, primarily through things that work, that don't need subsidies, that don't need tax breaks, that don't need all these government handouts. That's going to be oil, natural gas, coal, and nuclear. So we are a coalition, an association of American energy producers that support free markets first and foremost, and really want to see the market distortions from both the federal government and the financial institutions just wiped off the planet, of, you know, face of the earth.
Jason, is the the petrochemical industry, or the, you know, the fossil fuels industry, I don't even know if I want to call it the fossil fuels. I've read a lot of theories over the years that the abiotic theory of oil I find quite interesting, actually. And I noticed that there are other countries or other planets in the universe here that have lots of methane and hydrocarbons on them there, but they have no life, other life other than that. So you have to wonder about where these fuels come from, right?
Yeah, you really do. It's quite fascinating. That's why I refer to them as hydrocarbons, because that messaging tends to work well. Some people have got a negative impression about the term fossil fuels, which is interesting, but you're right. There is just a lot of unknowns out there. Like, our climate science is completely unknown. More and more studies coming out and showing over the last 200 years that man has had zero contribution to warming because of our emissions, and that the warming of the planet is actually increasing the CO2 emissions, not the other way around. But CO2 is still a trace gas in the atmosphere. It's 0.04% of our atmosphere. Yet, you know, Nordic cross-country Olympic skiers that testify before Congress would make you believe it's a huge part of the atmosphere. It's really not at all.
Yeah. Well, what the plan, though, from our progressive friends, I put friends in scary air quotes, is to essentially put America on an energy starvation diet. Hey, really? I mean, isn't that the plan, ultimately, with the renewable deal?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They tell you that wind and solar is cheaper, yet cost around the country as we put more on the grid. Our electricity is becoming a lot less reliable.
Hey, Jason, you got to blow up. You know, I don't even want people talking to me any longer about how that wind and solar is so cheap, it's practically free. Pacific Power here in the state of Oregon right now, they're always hitting you in the email box every month. Hey, you know, join Blue Sky, where you intentionally overpay for your energy because you're buying renewable energy blocks. So how can it be so darn cheap if you have to overpay more than the regular rate right now for renewable energy, right?
That's the virtue signal fee that we're all having to pay.
I guess so.
People can appease, you know, these climate alarmists and some of their financial institutions that, yes, we're on a path to decarbonization. Well, that's on a path to death. It's on a path to starvation. Decarbonization is dangerous, deadly, and dumb. It doesn't do anything to mitigate a changing climate. It just separates us from our food, our fuel, our money, also known as our freedom. It's just a terrible path that we need to stop in its tracks right now and turn around and embrace affordable, reliable energy from things that work.
Do you think it can be stopped? And I bring this up because one of the main issues that you were here to talk about was what RFK Jr., presidential candidate, a number of years ago, he went on the record as saying that he was in big favor of a national smart grid. And they're trying to do that out here in the state of Oregon right now, with Pacific Power wanting to use the smart grids that they ended up forcing down our gullets, and most of our gullets here a number of years ago. And I said, guys, the only reason you want a smart meter is because they want time-of-use pricing. So when you need to actually cook dinner, you can't afford to cook dinner. I mean, that's essentially what it is, right? Smart grid?
Yeah, that's exactly right. When demand goes up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, when people return home, they start cooking food, they're starting to do laundry. And those devices in our homes consume a lot more electricity than just flipping the lights on. I mean, the lights barely use any electricity at all. It's those heavy devices that we depend on to prepare our food and clean our clothes and wash ourselves. Prices, you know, demand peaks about that time. And so, yes, they want to charge people more during peak demand times. They're already paying some industry to shut off during demand times. It's like, hey, don't use electricity. We're going to pay you. Don't worry. The ratepayers are going to pick it up. But who suffers? It's that hourly worker that gets sent home early that doesn't get paid. But the company's still doing okay because the grid operators are paying them not to consume electricity to reduce demand on the grid. It's called demand response. Mm-hmm. It's just another point that we don't have enough reliable electricity generation on our grids around the country.
And the smart grid, of course, is also about turning off your appliances. That was something else that I was hit up with the other day from Pacific Power, in which they're asking for, or they're looking for people to join the program so that way they can shut down some of your appliances, such as your water heater. Even though I have a heat pump water heater, you think that I would be, you know, good according to their line of thinking. But shutting down your HVAC, shutting down your heat, or shutting down your water heater, things like that, And they're hoping to get people to sign up for that, right? That's what this whole smart meter, the smart grid is about, isn't it?
That's exactly right. It's about control. They want to be able to shut off your electric vehicle that they forced you into in your car so that you can't charge that during peak demand times. They want to shut off your electric heat pump that they forced you into and your electric water heater, because they won't allow you to have, you know, a natural gas water pump or water heater. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's just incredible how efficient these natural gas water heaters are, and how natural gas is heating your home, especially during really cold temperatures when the electric heat pump doesn't work. But yes, they want to get back into your home, shut these high demand devices off to reduce load on the grid, because they just don't have enough reliable generation, because we've become too dependent on this variable alternative I fondly call wind and solar unreliables, because that's exactly what they are.
Yeah. Intermittent and chaotic is another term I kind of like to, you know, assign to it. And of course, Team Chaos is looking for lots of grid chaos. I guess the question here for Jason Isaac, by the way, he's with me right now, the founder and CEO of the American Energy Institute. Will it take massive blackouts routinely like California to change people's minds? Because trying to get individuals who have been pushing the green agenda for years and years and years to see that it really won't work, you know, getting them to believe this is going to be quite difficult. You know, and you try to get someone to essentially blaspheme against their religion, this is a tough lift, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think more and more people are waking up to the fact that their electricity bills are skyrocketing. Between 2021 and 2022, there was a 30% increase in disconnects for electricity in the United States, a 76% increase in natural gas disconnects around the country. It's because costs are increasing so astronomically that people can't afford to heat their homes, to cool their homes in the summer. So I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic that people are really waking up. And just last week, the Biden administration announced they were going to put in $1.5 billion into restarting a nuclear facility in Michigan. Michigan is like one of the people that are leading the path towards this dangerous decarbonization by implementing all these green energy mandates. And now they're realizing they don't have enough affordable, reliable energy. So, hey, Biden, bail us out. We're a good Democrat state. Help us restart this nuclear facility, which we've demonized for decades, but we really need electricity. So help us out. $1.5 billion U.S. tax dollars going to a blue state, Michigan, because of their climate idiocy and their policies.
Jason, what is the health, though, of the oil and gas industry in the United States? And the reason I bring this up is that there's been an attack on them for years under ESG, you know, the environmental and what is it, the social score? And then
yeah, it's basically social credit scoring for businesses.
Yeah, and they would look at, you know, even though, yes, the vast majority of people, yes, even the rich liberal progressives of Southwest Oregon and Southern California and everywhere else, they're still using internal combustion vehicles and heating their homes. And they've got their wealthy home, their nice home with a gas, big gas stove in it, right? That same thing. Yeah. But yet they're preaching against this, you know, all over. And they've been attacking them from the finance world, you know, the BlackRocks of the world that don't want to invest in this. In other words, it's a politically unfavored investment category. And so even if there is natural gas and oil and various other real energy forms that are available for the taking and for the use here in America, if you don't have capital friendly towards these industries, it's not going to get pumped. It's not going to get processed. And you kill the industry. So what's happening with that? Can you help us understand?
Well, you're right. And that's why costs are on the rise. And the Biden administration will tell you we have record levels of production and everything's going great in the American oil and gas industry. But the costs are up because the smaller players don't have access to capital. I've talked to people specifically in the oil and gas industry that have been debanked. They've been denied access to capitals, lines of capital they've had for decades because they operate successful small businesses. And now they're being told, oh, well, because you're in the oil and gas sector, we have to decarbonize our portfolio, which really is an anti-American, pro-China agenda to push energy production away from the United States, make us dependent on our enemies, and where we can no longer help our allies. But it is working, and it is driving up the cost of capital, which is driving up the cost of energy production in this country.
What is the line of attack, though, to bring back some sense in your view here? And by the way, I know you're talking your book here, American Energy Institute. You got a dog in the fight, but I think we all have a dog in this fight because not having energy is not an option. You know, that's not it's not an option.
Yeah, and that's where people don't understand that over 96% of the products that we use and touch on a daily basis aren't possible without access to affordable, reliable energy. I mean, the clothes that we're wearing right now have hydrocarbons in them. So that's just something that hopefully people will wake up to and start to realize and appreciate and embrace hydrocarbons. We're hopeful, but I know some states, we've got nearly 24 states that have passed legislation telling these financial institutions that if they want to do business with those states, then they can't boycott, divest, or sanction hydrocarbons. And that's why last week, or I guess it was 2 weeks ago, Texas had the largest divestiture of BlackRock to date, $8.5 billion they're pulling out from under BlackRock's management. Because they're investing in oil and gas companies and then telling the board that if you don't reduce production, if you don't decarbonize your portfolio, if you don't start investing in these renewable companies, oh, that we happen to have a large investment in, then we're going to cut your compensation. We're going to replace your board, and then we're going to come in and replace you. And so they are sanctioning these American energy companies to the benefit of China, to the Saudis, to the Russians, to Venezuela. And fortunately, some states are taking a step back and are pushing back.
So red states are essentially warring on the Black Rocks, the big financial blobs. Okay.
Yeah, well said.
All right. Where can we find out more about what you're all about there at the American Energy Institute? Because, you know, sometimes it's great to have some talking points available when you're at the cocktail party and these people are going, you know, I want sustainability here in Southwest Oregon and Northern California. It's like, yeah, I'll bet you'd like food there, too. Guess what? Your Tesla truck's not going to be hauling the greens in from the San Joaquin Valley for much longer. But give us your take on that. Thank you.
Yeah, you can find me at Isaac for Energy on X, formerly known as Twitter. You can find us at AmericanEnergyInstitute.com for some great information there. And there's really some research there that shows about this tangled web of deceit and really the people that are behind the climate cartel that are driving all of this. There's a nonprofit in Boston called Ceres, a lot of connections with the Obama and Biden administrations of people that are really propping up the people that we don't like too much on the other parts of the country. And it's really unfortunate.
Jason.
But you're right. They're attacking our food, too. They're attacking our fuel. They're attacking our food. They're going after our farmers and ranchers. And that's frightening, too. We've got to partner together to push back.
All right. Jason, I appreciate the take. And I'll direct people to your site and also your Twitter handle more. And I'm going to follow you today when I get off and take a look at this. And you take care. I appreciate the talk. And it was a good one. All right. We'll have you back.
Hey, thank you. Great visit.
Jason Isaac, founder and CEO of the American Energy Institute. It's a shade before 7:00.